Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We can get the leading and the guiding of the Spirit that can be not through Scripture. He can give you what we would call a check of the Spirit. You just don't want to put as much stock in a check of the Spirit as you put in Scripture. If a check of the Spirit leads you away from the Scriptures, you want to come back to the Scriptures. And you also don't want to get carried away.
God wants us to do things by the power of His Holy Spirit, not by our own power. That might sound like a no-brainer, but so often we try to handle things on our own, in our flesh, instead of walking by the Spirit. We are studying the power and purpose of the Holy Spirit, our helper, as we continue in Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
In Revelation, the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and on the foundations is written the name of the 12 apostles. Do you think Matthias's name will be on one of those foundations? Or do you think it'll be another person? Perhaps like Paul, who said, I am an apostle of Christ. As one born out of time, Jesus appeared to me. So even though Paul wasn't with the disciples and didn't see the post-resurrection appearances, Jesus did appear to Paul in a post-resurrection, and he says he appeared to me in 1 Corinthians 15. So personally, I think it's Paul's name that will be on that. He is the apostle that took the place of Judas, I think. Now, we want to stand on, we'll argue over the essentials. The virgin birth of Jesus, the death on the cross for our sins, the resurrection, the giving of the Holy Spirit, these are all essentials. Whether or not it's Matthias or Paul that was chosen to be the apostle who would replace Paul is way down on the list of essentials. It's not even a secondary, it's a third or a fourth thing. So it's nothing that we would in any way argue about. However, we just look at this and go, if you're like me, you go, there's got to be a better way to make decisions than flipping a coin. I don't want to flip a coin for who I'm going to marry. I don't want to flip a coin for the next pastor we bring on staff. We got a couple of guys. Who do we think? Lord, you know all men's all's heart. All right, guess we're getting this other guy. That's the guy that the coin chose. I think that's a mistake. So we are instead to be led by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And the leading of the Holy Spirit, first of all and foremost, comes to us through Scripture. We are told how we are to live. Jesus said, blessed are you if you hear and obey the things that are written in the Word of God. The Bible tells you what kind of husband you're supposed to be. You are supposed to love your wife as Christ so loved the church and die for her. You won't even do the dishes for her. You're supposed to die for her. That's what the Bible says. It talks about the role of the women in marriage, the role of the man in marriage. It talks about the way we're supposed to interact with those around us. So first of all, we want to know, does the Bible have anything to say about this decision that I'm making? If I make this decision, is the Bible against it? If I make this decision, is it for it? So I've had people come to me and say, we're having trouble financially and I'm dating this gal and we're going to get married in a year. It would be more convenient if we move in together. We're going to have different rooms. Or one people told me we're going to sleep under different sheets. Yeah, that's going to help. And so we're going to go ahead and move in because we think it's the most convenient thing to do. I go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You're saying it's better for us financially. We're going to get ready if we can do this. But what's it going to look like to the world that you're living with the person you're not married to, that you are romantically attracted to? It's one thing if you move into a home with your sister. It's another thing when you're dating someone, you're going to marry them. So obviously you are attracted to them physically. Otherwise you wouldn't marry them. If you say to me, no, it's no problem. I'm not attracted to her physically. Then why are you marrying her? Don't marry her. It's going to be problems. All right. There's more going on here than just that. So you can go from that the scriptures tell us to not even let there be an appearance of evil among us. And you can go, you're not supposed to move in by the scriptures. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired the scriptures, and he speaks to us about what's right and wrong through the pages of scripture. So we first of all want to decide in this decision I've got to make, what does the Bible say? Because this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, we are, and when I say we, I mean Calvary Tucson, Calvary Chapel. We are charismatic. This means we're not cessationists, not sensational, but cessationists. A cessationist believes that the gifts of the Spirit was only for the first century, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were only for the first century, and the gifts of the Spirit do not operate today. They still believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They still believe in the guiding of the Holy Spirit. They still believe in the inspiration of Scripture. The difference is that we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit for today and that God uses those gifts. So the Bible says that there's the gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge, the gifts of healings, and we believe those still operate today. Now, we still stay in the parameters of Scripture. And the Bible says, if you give me a prophecy, I get to judge it. The Bible says, don't despise prophecy, but let one prophesy and let another judge it. So I have a prophecy in my life. When I was 22 years old in Albuquerque, and I was given a prophecy about becoming a pastor and some details that there was no way this guy could have known, and he gave them to me, and it was God showing me and giving me encouragement through a prophecy. And I'll share that before we're out of the book of Acts, what that prophecy was. And I really believe, I judged it, that this is from God, and I really believe it was. Now, over the years, a lot of people have come up to me and said, I have a word of the Lord from you. And here's how I always respond to that. If you've ever done this, you know this. You come to me, you say, God told me to tell you. And I go, okay. And you tell me, and I go, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to judge that now. And people get mad at me. They're like, what, you're going to judge it? Yeah, because that's what the Bible says. Let one prophesy and let the others judge it. By saying I'm going to judge it doesn't mean I'm rejecting it. It means I'm judging it. I get to choose whether I receive that prophecy or not. It's whether that's from God or not. One guy even told me when I told him I'm going to judge it, he said, I'm never wrong. Never? Let's get your wife in here. Let's see if you're wrong. Let's see if you're never wrong. If your wife says you're never wrong, you're never wrong? Well, the Bible tells me I can judge those things. Now, we are charismatic, meaning that we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today, okay? But we are charismatics with a seatbelt, to be sure. We are not the charismatic standing up in the back of the truck going down the freeway. That happens. And there are brothers and sisters in Christ, but they believe in special revelation. I believe God can give you special revelation. I believe you can be praying about a situation and that God can touch your heart and give you an answer to something you're praying for inside of your heart apart from Scripture. That's special revelation. But I don't believe it will ever go against Scripture. It's never going to tell you something that isn't in Scripture. Now, a lot of charismatics and Pentecostals, Bethel is one of them today, that's heading into practices that are the new age. They're into soul soaking, if you know what that is. That means you go to the grave of like D.L. Moody or you go to the grave of Charles Spurgeon and you lay on it and you soak up their anointing. This is massively unbiblical. It's not scriptural. And we should not start practicing things like that. In fact, there's something occultic about that, a feel of occulticness about that, and it's dangerous. And so we don't want to be involved in those kind of things. This is what I mean when I say we're charismatics with a seatbelt. We aren't out there doing this stuff. We aren't slaying people in the spirit. We aren't believing that we have to plead the blood of Jesus over you for you to be delivered from some demonic spirit. All of those things are unbiblical. Now, here's the thing. In the charismatic movement, from the Azusa Street Revival in the 1900s, there's all of these traditions that make their way into Pentecostal and charismatic churches today. And often they will take their traditions and put them as high as Scripture. They'll say, we've done this forever. So why you tell us that we can't slay people in the spirit or that we can't plead the blood over someone or cast a demon out of a Christian? We've done this forever. But it's not biblical. It's interesting to me that they will feel superior to a Catholic who believes in the traditions that have been handed to them by Catholicism, and they put traditions on the same layer as Scripture so that they're praying to Mary and they're praying to saints and they're using prayer beads. In the charismatic realm, they're repeating one word over and over again, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. They're doing exactly what Jesus said not to do, and they're ultra-biblical, only using their traditions. I see them very much like Catholicism in another way. Catholicism is very emotional. You guys know that if you're Catholic or if you've been Catholic. You walk into a Catholic church, they're very ornate, there's candles that are lit, you feel something when you walk in. You feel that tradition. You feel the depth of the tradition of how long this has been around. You hear a mass given in Latin and there's something that you feel good. It's a kind of worship for you. You feel emotional. Extreme Pentecostal and charismatic churches are the same. They go in and they got things going on. And if they don't feel the spirit moving, it's very emotional. Then they feel like it was dead and dry. I know, by the way, I'm not talking out of my hat here. I was part of charismatic and Pentecostal churches from the time I was 16 until my early 20s. And I'm talking for extreme charismatic churches and more solid Pentecostal churches. Churches that are our brothers and sisters in Christ today. I'm not saying that they're not. I'm simply saying when we're talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit, it is going to be based in Scripture. We believe in sola scriptura. There may be things that happen outside of Scripture, but we're never going to make them a tradition. When you start to make them a tradition in the church, like being slain in the Spirit or pleading the blood or grave soaking, all of these things are things that we should stay away from completely. And that's one of the reasons that we've begun to give a lot of warnings against Bethel Church. Because Bethel has a lot of music out there that's good, but they're out of control. They're doing things that are New Age movement. They believe that the Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God. Here, I had someone ask me this question yesterday. If the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, then doesn't the Holy Spirit have the right to amend the Bible? So they believe that the Holy Spirit, if he wrote it, he can change it and he can bring up new things. That's how they justify doing things that are unbiblical, by saying the Holy Spirit has a right to amend the Bible. However, the Bible says that it's going to accomplish that which it was sent out to do. God's not going to change his word. His word has been given to us once and for all, handed over to the saints, and we are now directed and led by the Scriptures. Now, let me cover really quickly how we are led by the Spirit. First of all, we're led by the Spirit through the Scriptures, right? That's the first place we go. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, we're not going to be doing something that is unbiblical. If I'm in my flesh, outbursts of anger, Galatians gives us that list of things that are in the flesh. Secondly, I'm looking for the leading of the Spirit in my life. And this might be, as I said before, we can get the leading and the guiding of the Spirit that can be not through Scripture. He can give you what we would call a check of the Spirit. You just don't want to put as much stock in a check of the Spirit as you put in Scripture. If a check of the Spirit leads you away from the Scriptures, you want to come back to the Scriptures. And you also don't want to get carried away. You can become paralyzed. And I've seen this happen. Because you feel like, I'm not supposed to drive down that road. I'm supposed to go a different way to work today. And I'm not supposed to go back there. You've got to have faith that God can take care of you. You feel like if I go down this road because the Holy Spirit gave me a check, then I'm going to get in a wreck and I'm going to die. Just settle down. Take a breath. God is hand is over your life. It's appointed for you to die once and then comes judgment. God's going to take care of you. But there may be a time where the Holy Spirit lays something on your heart and so you do it. You feel like, I need to go talk to this person. And it's nothing that would be wrong or bad, but you feel like, I need to go talk with them. You go to them and say, hey, you doing all right? I just feel like the Lord told me to come and pray for you. Is there anything I could pray for you about? And you might find that there's something exactly that God's leading you through the Spirit to do. But it's never going to be away from the things that are in the Scriptures. Now, how do I know that I'm walking in the Spirit? If you know me personally and you see that I am impatient and angry and I have no joy, and I'm not faithful, I don't keep my word, then you can be sure I'm not walking in the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit accompanies those who are led by the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you don't have any self-control, you're not led by the Spirit. If you don't have peace, you're not led by the Spirit. If you don't have joy, you're not led by the Spirit. If you don't have love, you're not led by the Spirit. If you're unloving towards the people around you, that's your flesh, not the Spirit. These are the signs that we are walking in the Spirit. And so you can ask yourself, do I have these fruits in my life? Does it mean you're going to have them all the time? No. Does it mean that I have them all the time? Of course. No, I don't have them all the time. But we can look and say, sometimes I get in my flesh and sometimes I endeavor to walk in the Spirit every day. I endeavor to drive my car in the Spirit in the way that I treat people around me. I endeavor to interact at the grocery store. I endeavor to interact in the Spirit with the lady who's taking my order at Trulin Burgers last night when we ate. If my order isn't right, I want to be in the Spirit when I take care of it. I want to make sure I'm treating people around me the way that I'm supposed to. That's living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And this is God's plan and desire for us. And if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, we're fruit inspectors. If you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, then you're not walking by the Spirit. If you have trouble with outbursts of anger, if you have trouble with temptation and lust issues, then you're walking by the flesh and not the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. And isn't that just a great statement? If I walk in the Spirit, so I don't need to go out there and fight all these problems, temptations I'm having. I just need to walk in the Spirit. And when I walk in the Spirit, I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight in the world, your desires will be for the world. You delight in the Lord, your desires will be for the Lord. Jesus said, abide in me and let my word abide in you, and you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. Only if you're abiding in him and his word is abiding in you. Now we're living the life by the Spirit and we can overcome sinfulness. When you became a Christian, your relationship to sin changed. The Bible says that we are no longer slaves to sin. We were slaves to sin before we came to Christ, but now there's an opening. There's a door. There's a way of escape that God gives us when we are tempted now, because we are filled by his Spirit and we can now walk in the Spirit. This changes us. We become new people. We become people that have the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit in our life, and it becomes very powerful. All right, I'm done. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have today to be able to ask the question, is this a good way to make decisions? Is this the right way to make decisions? Did the Spirit lead them? And in reality, Lord, we don't know. But it seems to me that it wasn't a good way to make a decision, and that there are better ways to do it. And I pray that we would make decisions by the move of your Spirit through the Word of God, and that the fruit of the Spirit would be evident in our lives. Thank you that you've given us the fruits of the Spirit so that we can know that we are walking in the Spirit. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Christ, you've never become a disciple. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. You fall into that anyone, if anyone wants to be my disciple. And notice, he doesn't say, if you want to be my disciple, I'm going to make your life better. He didn't say that. He said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. You are to follow. That's an invitation to follow. Just like Peter, James, and John, when they were mending their nets by the sea, we're given an invitation to follow Jesus. You have been given an invitation to follow him. You are receiving him. John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. This means that you get to say, Lord, I want you in my life. Now, no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. And so God is drawing you to come to him, and you're responding. So what I'm asking you to do today is to react to Jesus. He's knocking, you're opening. You're saying, Lord, I hear you, and I want to give my life to you. No wonder the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. And listen, if you're young, don't think, well, I'm going to do that later on. I'm going to do that after I get married, or I'm going to do that after I get out of college. I'm going to do that after I get out of high school. Don't do that. Today is the day of salvation. Give your life to Christ today. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, serve God while you're young. And if you're older and you're here, say, what about me? Well, serve God while you're old too, all right? But specifically to the young was an encouragement. Serve God while you're young. So if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, clearly you're going to stop living for yourself and you're going to start living for him. You're going to give up your life. Jesus said, if anyone gives up his life, he'll find it. But if he keeps his life, he'll lose it. You're clearly going to give up your life and you're going to live for him. And you're going to become a disciple following Jesus, an ambassador for him. There's more taking place that's happening to you than I can say right now, but these are the basics of what you are doing when you're committing yourself to Christ right now. So if you want to be a disciple, you want to be a follower of Jesus, you want to start living for him, then I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to take time to acknowledge your hands, to pray for you, and to pray with you. God bless you guys back here in the back. God bless you, ma'am, right here to my right. That's great. God bless you, sir. Right here in the front, God bless you guys back over to the left. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you guys back over here, way to the left. That's great. Anybody else? Now, I'm not going to go on and on, but I am going to go through the room one more time. You want to give your life to Christ? Just raise your hand. Do it now. Be bold. This is the day that God has chosen for you to surrender your life to him. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. God bless you in the back, sir. And God bless you, sir, in the cry room too. That's great. Just raise your hand now. All right. God bless you right by the aisle there, sir. That's great. Anyone else? God's doing a work. God's called you. God's going to transform you now. God bless you, ma'am. You're in the back. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hand. I saw your hand in the cry room as well, sir. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life and I turn from my sin that I can live for you, that I can be your disciple, that I can follow you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Very exciting. I will never forget when I was 14 years old and I prayed a prayer very similar to that, how my life was transformed. I suddenly, as a 14-year-old, trust me, I didn't want to go to church. Suddenly, as a 14-year-old, I got saved and I wanted to go to church and I wanted to read my Bible and I wanted to know more about God. And I found myself just pursuing him and wanting to know more and more about him. And that's exactly what's going to happen to you now. The Holy Spirit has caused you to be born again and you now have the Holy Spirit inside of you and you are going to start desiring a changed life, a different life, because that's what God does when you surrender your life to him. We have a new believers table out in the foyer. Stop by there, get a Bible and a new believers packet. Now I want to pray for you. I want to pray for all of us. And I like to pray for us based on what we've been looking at. And since we were looking at the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, last week we saw the power of the Spirit. We prayed for the Holy Spirit as our last prayer. I want to pray that you would be led by the Spirit, that God would lead you and you'd have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, that you'd be a person full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you, men and women, to lift up your hands made holy by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for everyone who's here. Lord, thank you that we've been able to come into this place on this Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. And I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit and that you would lead us. What a statement by Jesus that it is to our advantage that he would go away because we would have the Holy Spirit. Let us not take this lightly. Let us be men and women who are led. Help us not to get extreme like some do. We know that heresy is a work of the flesh. We want to stand in the truth and live the truth. And we pray that you would help us do that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I want to bless you before you go. I want to give you the blessing that comes out of the book of Numbers. It's the oldest scriptures we have. There were two silver scrolls found in Jerusalem, dated 2,700 years ago, that had this blessing on it. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May you find yourself walking in the Spirit this week. May you endeavor to walk in the Spirit. It's not just that it's going to happen naturally, but we endeavor to walk in the Spirit so we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And may God bless you by walking closely with him this week.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, We'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.